Hello, my name is Reverend Seth Nelson, and I am the pastor of Faith Lutheran Church in Ronan, Montana. Join in weekly to hear the good news of God's love proclaimed over your life. You can follow us on Podbean and iTunes. God bless you this day.
Matthew 22, verses 15 through 22. Then the Pharisees went and plotted to entrap him in what he said. So they sent their disciples to him, along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with the truth, and show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality. Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. And then he said to them, "Whose head is this, and whose title?" They answered, "The emperor's." Then he said to them, "Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard this, they were amazed, and they left him and went away. Here ends our gospel lesson.
Well, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and give to God what is God's. Well, we get one of the most political texts in the Gospels, right smack dab in the middle of one of the most political seasons of the year, the election season. Perhaps a wiser preacher than I would try to sidestep these hot and button topics like this for the sake of the order. But I'm not such a wise preacher. Still, while I am a firm believer that the Bible and the Gospels have strong political implications, I also believe that they are not partisan books, at least not partisan along the lines of our political parties and the lines that they have drawn in the United States in the 21st century. I read a tweet recently which said, "Be wary of politicians who try to tell you how to pray, and wary of pastors who try to tell you how to vote." I found that there is a lot of wisdom in this statement, and I mean to abide by this wisdom today. It is not my job to tell you how to vote. Furthermore, I believe that our faith should inform our politics, but our politics should not inform our faith. The Christian faith is not subject to gerrymandering and bully pulpits, political punditry, or big money donors buying up the ad time at our local Montana stations so that all we can see between shows is negative ads for or against one candidate or another. I mean, does anybody else find themselves longing for more car commercials again? God is bigger than our politics, and we are compelled to have a deeper and more lasting faith than our fleeting political moments of scandal, intrigue, and hopefully some decent policy making along the way. With all that being said, let's get into it. What did Jesus mean when he said, "Give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and give to God what is God's"? Most immediately, Jesus was pushing back against the Pharisees' attempt to entrap him. They were trying to get him to make a statement of sedition against the Roman Empire by goading him into saying that Roman taxation was unjust, which it was, and thereby they could get Jesus arrested and out of the picture. If anybody thinks that regulations and taxation in the United States are restrictive, they are nothing compared with the ancient Roman system. The Romans levied taxes on the Judeans for 80 to 90% of their income, giving almost nothing back, and were incredibly cruel to anyone who said a bad word about them. They crucify Judeans by the thousands for advocating for independence. So, the Pharisees thought that they were setting an easy trap for Jesus to fall into by asking him if it was lawful for them to pay their taxes or not. Contrary to their expectations, though, Jesus turned the tables when he asked them whose face was on the money that they used. Unlike the United States Mint, which only puts faces of dead presidents on our dollars, the Roman Empire would print new coins with the face of each new living emperor while they were living and ruling. So, when Jesus asked them whose face was on the coin, the face was likely the current living emperor who was demanding that they pay the money with his face on it back to him. And it was at this point that Jesus made the powerful political and theological statement that rings through the centuries. Give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and give to God what is God's. Now, this verse carries some pretty loaded concepts within it, so let's take some time to unpack them. First, we might ask Jesus, isn't all of what is Caesar's God's? As all of creation was formed by the Creator, along with everything and everyone in it, isn't Caesar's domain God's domain? The answer to this question is, sort of. God does indeed rule over everything and everyone. But Jesus is teaching us through this passage that God rules creation through earthly authorities. God has governed the world through kings and emperors, republics and tribal leaders, councils and monarchies, revolutions, protests, and eras of civil stability. From tyrants to democracies, God has used all sorts of governments and political leaders to order the world throughout the ages. And God continues to rule through heads of state, governors, prime ministers, and all other sorts of political company, whether Christian or not, and uses them to enforce his rule in the world to this day. Now, this is not to say that all political leaders are godly, or all forms of government are even good, but rather that political sovereignty in the world is part of God's plan for ruling creation. In this sense, Caesar's domain within God's wider domain is separate and distinct. God ruled the world through the various Caesars, just as God had previously ruled Rome through the Senate. The sovereignty of our governments is part of how God has ordered the world. So we can pay taxes to Caesar on the one hand, while giving God the things that are God's on the other. Another thing that this means, though, is that Caesar, the various kings and emperors through the centuries, leaders in Congress, and other political leaders throughout time, all of these guys are not God. They are not God. While there seems to be no end to the number of politicians who would want us to worship them as though they are deities to be praised because they float above the rest of us somehow, Caesar is not God because God is greater than Caesar. Our political leaders do not get to claim our property or our freedoms. They do not get to hoard our prayers or pretend that every aspect of our lives is theirs to command. Politicians should not claim that they are to be worshipped and adored at the expense of justice, decency, or the lives of the people they rule. Those who govern do not get to put themselves in the place of our Creator, nor do they get to trample on the lives of the ones they govern, as though that we are not all created equal by our Lord, whose domain is greater and power more infinite than anyone in a presidential palace. God is God. Caesar is Caesar. But God is always greater than Caesar. Many, especially Christians in America, struggle to understand the distinction between God and government that Jesus laid out in this passage. For some, they look to their politics to provide meaning, purpose, and hope in ways that our governmental systems really just cannot deliver. While laws, policies, and programs can bring order and justice to chaos in our world, they're really ill-equipped to connect us with one another, and especially connect us with our Lord in soulful, substantive ways. Others, though, err by failing to see any distinction between Christian governance, the Christian church, and our God who came to earth in the person of Jesus Christ. Now, I blame this largely on the heavy, heavy influence that John Calvin's theology has had on American Protestantism. As you may or may not know, the Pilgrims and the Puritans were all staunch, staunch Calvinists. Likewise, the theology of Baptists, Presbyterians, Fundamentalists, Evangelicals, and several other Protestant groups in America all draw heavily on John Calvin's theology, which teaches that the church and the state should be one and without any separation. While there have been many questionable results when leaders try to meld religion and politics, one result that is particularly of concern in the past few years is the perceived need to treat your political leaders like church leaders, and to treat your church leaders like political leaders. If the church and the state are one and the same, or at least overlap enough so that the government looks like the pastors want it to, and the church looks like the politicians want it to, then there is little distinction between one's faith and one's politics. In unbiblical fashion, many Christian leaders teach the opposite of Jesus anymore. Something to the effect that we are to give to Caesar what is God's, and give to God what is Caesar's. Now, perhaps the most troubling effect of letting the wall between church and state crumble in our theology and let the two institutions meld together is that if the politicians that church leaders stump for lose their elections, then it is as though God loses the election. If the church and the state are melded, when the church's candidates must win our political elections, then the church's candidates must win our political elections. And these political candidates, in turn, need church leaders who are partisan and line up on their side of the aisle every time. It is an unhappy and unholy union that can corrupt both our politics and our faith. And many seem only too happy to go along with this way of thinking, believing, and voting anymore. But we hear from our Lord today in this simple declaration: give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and give to God what is God's. That the emperor and God are not one and the same, nor is the empire the church. The empire, the nation, the state, the tribe, the county, the city. These are all domains of our political leaders that Jesus instructs us are distinct from the direct rule of God in our lives and in our souls. Our political leaders have been entrusted with divinely sanctioned authority to levy taxes, build bridges and roads, implement sanitation departments and public health policy, and even raise armies to wage war on a nation's enemies. They are given authority to resist anarchy with law enforcement, implement laws of justice to contain evil and cruelty, and are entrusted with power to look out for the welfare of all citizens, regardless if they voted for them or not. But ultimately, we are God's and God's alone. God's kingdom, God's domain, does not rise or fall with our ability to vote one person in over another, make all the right laws, or figure everything out for ourselves. God's kingdom is God's kingdom, and it is greater than anything that the Caesars of this world can even imagine. God's kingdom comes in God's good time, and it is through God's rule in the world that our salvation is secure. This is good news indeed. Not only is God's kingdom beyond the ways that we frequently mess up our government, our laws, and our elections all the time, but this good news means that God's otherworldly domain and rule has saved people from evil tyrants through the ages, communist regimes that have sought to suppress the faith, and even the fascists who co-opted Christian churches in the 20th century in order to spread the false belief that their leaders were messiahs who were necessary for the world's salvation. What is God's is greater than anything that the Caesars of this world will ever own or command. For you, my friends, are God's beloved, not Caesar's. While political leaders rule over our lands and our laws, God rules over our very essence, our very souls. Everything, every little part of you, everything that you are and hold dear, every passion and pet peeve that you have, every love and everything you despise, your strengths and your weaknesses, all that you are, all are in the Lord's hands, every bit of you. God is redeeming the whole of who you are out of the chaos of this world as we speak. And God will always put Caesar in his place. Though Caesar's face is on the taxes that he collects, God's face is imprinted on our souls. And so we gladly give them over to God, for they are indeed God's alone, and always have been. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.
I hope that you've enjoyed this week's sermon podcast. If you would like to hear more, read my blog, or get a copy of my book called The Church Unknown, go to www.revsethnelson.com. If you feel called to support our ministry, I invite you to go to our church's website at flcronan.org and click on the Offerings tab. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine on you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.